Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, as always, Jason Hobbs. I have another great guest and another great show in store for you. Today, tonight, whenever it is you're listening to it, you're going to have the great pleasure of listening to a very, very prolific author in our small little niche. I didn't know this. I looked him up, believe it or not, right before the show. And his first published thing I could find was called The Sunless Garden. He's also the mastermind behind X-Crawl. And he's finally getting this module he told me about published, the In It 5 Points. He's none other than, I'm sure you all know, Brendan LaSalle, Beast Mode. How's it going, Brendan?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah. It's if only we'd ever discussed this beforehand and we might have had you on sooner.
Well, you know what? We're here now and we're doing it. And this is fantastic. So I have to ask, am I one of the end friends now?
For sure. Well, you already
end
were.
End friend. Heck yes.
So. You already were, man. No, without question. You're a great guy. And
when you said
you'd be on. Yeah. When you said you'd be on, I was so I was very happy and excited about that. And finally got you here. So you're number 45. So
wow. With a bullet.
Kind of a big list, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, man.
No, I'm just kidding you. All right. So, do you want to talk about it? What the heck is The Sunless Garden?
The Sunless Garden was the first adventure I wrote for Goodman Games. And it was one of the dungeon crawl classics of the original era when the dungeon crawl classics line were adventures written for third edition Dungeons and Dragons. And it was actually the first the first real fantasy thing that I wrote. My first book was the original X-Crawl core book that came out in 2002. So I had several adventures that came out before Sunless Garden, but they were all X-Crawl adventures. So Sunless Garden was my first, call it traditional fantasy role-playing adventure. I'm very fond of it. I wish I could go back and do a real hard edit on it, because some of the writing in it now just drives me nuts when I see it. It's like, oh, you know how it is? You know, I see something you wrote, more than a decade ago, and it's like, oh, goodness gracious. But I'm very fond of that adventure. And it was great that Joseph let me do one of those at a let's just call it a low point in my writing career. So he kind of saved me there. So well, that was cool. Great. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to just go through these questions that I usually ask people during our introduction.
Boom. Do it.
I wrote here that I wasn't for sure where we met each other, but thinking about it, I think it was at the very first GaryCon that I ever went to. And, which would have been at the old place, probably GaryCon 5 or 6, maybe.
I think it would be Gary. I mean, maybe GaryCon 5. I think I have been going since 4. I want to say, I do remember, I don't remember specifically meeting you, but I do remember eventually someone corrected me and telling me that Hobbs was not your first name as I thought it was.
Cause that's all anyone called me probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I remember us having a quick conversation at the bar at one point. That was when I was like, oh, Jason Hobbs, gotcha.
I think it was my very first GaryCon that I went to. It was the same year that we did the Stout Fellas. And you ran – I remember Adam and Katie being all excited, and they went over and played a game with you. Oh, maybe this was the year after, because Bird went as well. I don't know. Okay. I'm getting confused, but sure. I know it was GaryCon. So I have a best Brendan LaSalle story. They're always the best because they're about me.
I have to hear it now.
All right. So at Game Hole Con a few years ago, I think my second Game Hole Con, where I actually ran my first on the books convention game. It was a Black Powder Black Magic game. And nice. I didn't know hardly any of the people in the game. One, maybe John Carnes was in this game. And other than that, it was like two couples and a linguist. And we were playing Black Powder, Black Magic. And those guys had a blast. I hadn't you know, ran at a con before. I hadn't ran for many women or even for people I didn't know that often. And they seemed to really have a blast. And we talked about it and I saw them later and they were like, yeah, we ran into some guy after your game and our game was canceled and he found us just sitting there and he said, hey, your game got canceled. I'll run a game for you. And it was you. And they told me, yeah, but his game wasn't as good as yours. which is,
That was at Game Hole?
Yeah, it was at Game Hole up on the, when we were still on the, running a lot of games on like the mezzanine up there before they opened the other doors. You told me then you wanted to play in one of my games, but you still never have. So
I still never have. It's very hard for me to get in another game at another convention. I figure like last year I did 17 conventions and I think I played like twice or maybe three times. Actually, no, there was one OdysseyCon when they cut my they gave me so few sessions that I just played. I like Daniel Bishop was there and he ran. So like every slot of the convention, either I was running and Daniel was playing in my game or Daniel was running and I was playing in his game. But other than that, yeah, I hardly ever. I actually, you know what? I just played for the first time ever. I just got back yesterday from AlCon in Houston, Texas, which was a great college con at the Rice University campus. And I played my first session of Labyrinth Lord.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did someone have the big, thick combined book, or was it still the old Labyrinth Lord without like AEC involved or?
You know, I don't know, but I should have got his last name. The guy running his name was Andy, and I think that he's sort of like known for running a lot of Labyrinth Lord. He runs a charity game for the Houston Food Bank. So like you play, but you also like you could like I jumped in. These guys have been playing. The one cat had been there at his table from Friday until Sunday afternoon. You know, like he ran steadily the whole time, and you could buy tickets, and then like you could use a white ticket to get a reroll or a red ticket for automatic 20, and all of the proceeds from the tickets went to the Houston Food Bank. So I got to play a little bit and had some fun and helped kill a ghoul. So, you know.
Was that his own game or was it a published material or?
It felt like a homebrew, but you know, I didn't see his books or I didn't see what he was running from, but it felt very much. In fact, I'm almost positive that it was a homebrew. He had a very, very detailed, intricate world with a really neat system where we were all members of this adventuring company. And you started with one magic item, which was a notebook that had all of the like everything that was happened to the company was written in there, which was simulated by a real notebook that he would just hand to you so you could add to stuff for the next players. It was really neat.
Oh, that is a cool. That's a cool thing. Yeah. All right. So you've kind of already went right into our gaming briefly. I want to ask you another question though. So you don't run, you run all the time at cons, but you don't play, but I did see, it looked like you are playing in some online games now. Is that accurate?
I sure am. Yeah. I've been playing in a couple of things. I have been doing a, now can I remember all of them? one of my friends is running the Black Hack and I'm playing, he's running White Plume Mountain with the Black Hack. So I'm playing in that. And then I'm in an occasional Dungeon World adventure I'm doing with that. And then Val Emerson and myself, we go back and forth running games. So she just play tested one of my new DCC adventure and I was in her last one. So I try to get, I like the online gaming. I didn't think I would like it as much as I do, but I really do.
That's
and,
awesome.
I try to get as much as possible. And then we do like a once in a while Sunday game and Tim Deshane, who you've had on the show before, Tim's been running Astonishing Swords and Swordsmen of Hyperborea. And then we try that Sunday morning game. We do a lot of experimentation. We try a lot of new stuff. So
it sounds like the Black Hack and Dungeon World to me is new, but how do you feel about those games?
I mean, they're all fun. I liked Black Hack well enough. It certainly got my wheels turning as far as like system things. And I can see where for a certain kind of an adventure, if you only had one weekend a year to get together and play a game, I can see like doing a really fun like Black Hack Adventure, where, you know, Friday night you would start off first level and by Sunday night you would be 17th and unkillable or whatever, you know, let's just, you know,
just like a cool epic game or something.
Yeah, it's cool. It's you know, you level quickly, you know, like one encounter gets you to second level, two encounters gets you to third level, and so on. So, you know, it's fun. It's fast paced, you know. I enjoy it.
Cool.
It's got interesting stuff for resource management, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah,
it's cool.
That's nice. Awesome. So let me talk about my games for a little bit.
By all means.
I have been running Kalmata, which people of the show are very familiar with. It's based on the Treasure Vaults of Zatabod, which was based on the Isle of Dread. So it's kind of a love letter to those games. It's a
nice.
EX, and it's a ton of different people. It's a West Marches game, so that's pretty fun. I run that, and I've played in Carl Rodriguez's Broken Lands, which is based on the Orcs of Thar. You ever heard of that?
No, I sure haven't.
Yeah, it's an old Beckme module where you play like orcs or hobgoblins or ogres or whatever in the Broken Lands, which are just north of the Duchy of Karamikos.
Okay.
Yeah, it was by Bruce Hurd. So it's a pretty cool thing. And the whole concept or the conceit of the game is that your characters are probably going to try to make their own horde, you know, and then, you know, wreak some havoc in this Broken Lands area.
Sure.
So that's a pretty fun game. And there's a lot of interesting thought that goes into trying to take over the humanoid horde that you're in. So that's a pretty cool game. And I've also been working on this basic fantasy role-playing game campaign that I'm work at the same time. My buddy Colin Green from Spike Pit, another podcast, he's running, we're both using like just the core material to start with. And he's running it face to face and he's in England and I'm going to run it online. Oh, wow. And then we're going to compare notes back and forth to how many differences there are, what our different thoughts are with the system. Cause I've never ran it before. I've never played it before. And so that's kind of one of these things. And I'm really kind of following that on my show, Random Screed. So if you ever want to hear me talk about it, check out that show. All right. So my favorite part about the introduction, Everything About You. So I'm assuming you're familiar with this. You got an Everything About You for us today, Brendan? Like something people that listen to the show may not know about you or anything like deep dark secret.
Deep dark secret. Okay. Well, let's see. So I owned a pawn shop for several years. Nice. You know, that's a few people out there probably know that about me. You know, I was a Renaissance Festival performer. I've been an extra on a TV show and other things. I've done, you know, I've had a lot of adventures. I had a very rich, you know, my 20s and 30s were interesting. I had a lot of things I got into. So, yeah, I guess, you know, if you're an actor, one thing most folks don't know about me, yes, I worked in pawn shops all through the later half of my college career and eventually became like a partner with another guy in one and did that for 3 years before I moved to New England.
So. You got any crazy story or anything from being a pawn shop guy?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, I could go on that, but I'll tell this one. Okay. Yeah. So one day when I'm in there, a man comes in with a paper bag and he says, "Do you buy gold?" I said, "Of course." So he dumps out all of this weird gold onto my counter. It's all foil type of stuff. And it's all in these really weird shapes, you know, unpredictable, kind of strange, but they look kind of familiar. And I'm like, huh. And I was like, well, is this just trying to get the, you know, you can usually ask a couple of questions and figure out if things are stolen or not, you know? So just to get the ball rolling, I was like, well, is this 10 or 14 karat gold? He says, it's 12 karat gold. I'm like, 12 karat gold? I don't see much of that. He goes, yeah, it's dental gold. And I take a look down and what I realize that what he has there are crowns, gold crowns for people's teeth. Maybe 60, 70 of them.
Ouch. What?
Yeah. I was like, oh, 12 karat. I got to pass. Thanks.
Yeah, so I just he like stole them from bodies, you think, or what?
That's the best case scenario is that he stole them from bodies. And didn't make bodies and then take the gold things out. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, killed them people or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe Rob the Dentist. That's maybe Rob the Dentist is the best case scenario.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't just have them already formed in the dentist shop, do they?
I don't know, man.
This has to go in an X-Craw game or something. Jeez, I'm putting in my next modern day Delta Green story or something. That's fantastic.
You know what? If I ever – I have this I have a Nowhere Cities Nights game in my head that I'm dying to write an adventure for if I ever get a free month. And if I do, maybe I'll have a put a bag of gold crowns in it as a treasure you can find.
Yeah, that's nice. We won't mention the author of Nowhere City Nights, though. He might be.
I thought he was like your
arch nemesis.
You just said he was your. He said he was like your. You know, like you just said he was the most handsome guy. In this, okay, you know what? We'll talk later. Let's pass over that.
All right.
No, sir.
So my everything about you today is I absolutely did no prep for Gary Kahn, which starts for me 1 week from today. I was supposed to have Zine Ford on.
You're
not done.
Going to hell for that one.
I was supposed to have Relentless Ready to run for Jeff Goad. I haven't done anything. I might just wing it. I was supposed to run, some Forlorn Shores for some people. Might just make it up as I go. Otherwise, everyone's just stuck with Kalmata. But I'm going to have a great time.
I'm sure. And I'll tell you what. I am absolutely confident in your ability to improv a game for the first time and make it truly entertaining. You've got a rep for being an excellent DM and GM, judge, however we're saying it these days. And I'm sure you just, I've heard that from too many people. For that not to have something to it. So I'm sure you can handle
it. Wow, I'm surprised. I'm all flattered. I'm almost speechless, but not quite.
Straight up.
All right.
Thank
you. I appreciate that. That's another thing I was going to mention. I feel so bad how tired I was at Origins because it's not very often. It's not very often you get a group like Julian Burnick, Alex Kammer, Shane, is it Harsh or Hurst?
Harsh.
And you show up.
Yeah.
Hey,
Harsh.
I thought you were going to run a game for us. You guys all come up to me and I was so exhausted, man. I was just wiped. And now I'm like, I look back and I'm like, man, I wish I had gotten that chance to run that game. Right after that, I went and passed out in the hallway at Origins.
Oh, that's harsh.
Someone took a picture of me and I got I woke up an hour or two later and I got a message from James Spahn. I'm watching you. And he wasn't even at the time. I'm like, what is happening?
They made a Hobbs webcam.
Yeah, it was
while crazy. You slept.
But yeah, I feel bad about that. So when are you getting to Gary Kahn?
I'm going on Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm going to get there early Wednesday. I'm actually meeting Michael Curtis in Milwaukee, and we're going to drive up together.
Nice. I'm going to have him on pretty soon, too. He's been telling me for quite a while that he would do it every time I ask him. So
cool. He's one of the funniest people in the industry, and,
I thought I was the funniest person in the industry. Never mind. Anyway.
I know you think you're the funniest person in the industry.
Awesome. All right. So I like to, when I get some writers on, I mean, you've written so many things. What inspired you to start writing, I guess? Because, I mean, your first game was X-Crawl. You want to talk about maybe, I don't know if you've probably done this a million times or not, but do you want to talk about that at all, maybe, why you wrote that? Or was that your initial inspiration to become a writer? Or what do you think?
I had been working on, I really wanted to be a writer for a long time. There was here's a story. I don't think I've ever told this story before, but I had a moment thinking about a story in when I lived in Houston, in ninth grade, I had this, I was thinking about wouldn't it be a good story at this, and it just popped into my head all fully formed. Oh, I'm going to be a writer. That's what I'm going to do forever. You know? Nice. It was like, I absolutely, from them, but I started off writing, I wrote a lot of poetry in high school, like you do in high school, mm-hmm. And it was bad. Oh, it was bad, sir. I wrote short stories. I worked on a novel, and it wasn't until I started, I was always a gamer. I've been gaming since 77. And it was only in, let's see, like I was living in Seattle, and I had this idea for a game for my roommates. And it was pretty much X-Crawl, like say 80% fully formed. I'm like, oh wait, it'll be competitive and it'll be dungeon crawl and it'll have TV and sponsorships like NASCAR patches. And, you know, I thought, oh, this would be so much fun, you know? And I ran it for my I ran one full 3-level dungeon of X-Crawl for my roommates. And when we got to the end, I thought that I was done. And I was like, oh, that's great. And so literally as we were finishing the campaign up, the first dungeon, I was like, all right, so next week I have an idea. I want to do a Shaolin versus Wu-Tang game. And it's going to be great. And half of you will be – and they're like looking at me like, no, we are playing more X-Crawl. And I was like, oh, okay. And I eventually pitched it to PandaHead, and they gave me the thumbs up, and that's how it all got started.
And that was 2002, huh? Wow, that's pretty awesome, man. 17 years of writing role-playing games.
I know, right? Yeah, it's crazy, but it's you know, I love it. I feel very blessed doing what I'm doing, and I still really enjoy it. You know, I've had this last couple of weeks, I have done nothing but write and writing and convention prep has been pretty much my every waking hour, and it's just been like blissful, you know?
Yeah. So, like, do you also read a lot then, or did you at one point, do you have like specific authors that you would like? A lot of times I'll ask artists, you know, who's your artist inspiration? Well, who's like, do you have like a writing inspiration or not really?
No, I've got plenty of them. My first big inspiration as a kid was Stephen King. I was a huge Stephen King fan, and discovered his stuff early on and would just devour anything that he had written. And just, you know, to this day, one of my all time favorite horror novels is Christine, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm also, my degree is in English literature. So I read a lot of classics, coming up. I'm a huge Shakespeare geek. And I, you know, like I'm the guy that catches all the new Shakespeare movies when they come out. I to this day, I still, you know, I incorporate a lot of it in. There's a lot of artists that I'm seriously into, Kurt Vonnegut. I like Clive Barker a lot. There's a writer who, as far as like literary stuff, I'm a huge fan of Joyce Carol Oates. I don't read as much as I used to. I still do a lot of audiobooks, but I'm a firm believer. If you're not reading, you know what I mean? Like reading is the fuel of writing. You know what I mean? You have to be reading. Maybe not like I said, I don't read like I used to, but I try to do a lot of audiobooks. I try to get as much in as I can. I read a lot of magazines, you know what I mean? But it's not like it was. You know what I don't read enough of by far? I don't read enough other role-playing games, yeah. You know?
Well, like too many of us, we read. We don't play enough. So
I'm the opposite. I play a lot, and because I'm running all the time. I'm always doing prep, and I'm always doing my own stuff. But I've learned like this year, I learned more new systems in the last 12 months than I did probably in the 3 years before that. But I didn't read the books. I sat down and played with people who knew how to play, and they taught me.
That's the old way to learn.
yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know what they say, my man, in marketing, they say, learn to earn, but read to succeed. So I don't know if you've ever heard that saying before.
I have not, but I like it.
I like it too. So that's awesome. What about, so do you use any of these literary things that you enjoy in your game writing or not really?
Constantly. Yeah. Almost every, all the stuff that I do, I really cram everything I do with references and little in jokes and little like homages to people. I mean, X-Crawl especially, I really hope that X-Crawl like wears its influences proudly on its sleeve. It's, you know, it really is sort of like a pastiche of all these things that I really, really love. I put little you know, I put little references to everything. In fact, there's a here's something special for your readers. So I'm currently working on the new edition of X-Crawl Classics, which will be with the Dungeon Crawl Classic rules. And I actually, with the permission of our fine host tonight, I actually have put a Hobbes joke in there in the text. So if you find that, you know, be the first one to dial in at 1-800-CALL-HOBBES, and you're going to win a turkey dinner.
A turkey dinner,
thanks to nice. Hobbes and Hobbes and Dinner is going to sponsor a.
All right,
Hobbes and Friends going to buy.
No, I'm down with that. It'd be easier to call them to Random Screed though. So do that if you want. Yeah. It's funny that you say that because you asked me if you could do that. And that was like, Jesus, was that last year?
No. That was a spell that I wrote like three months ago. Goodness. It wasn't that long ago at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You contacted me. You asked me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised you asked me. I usually make fun of Julian without asking him anything.
Well, I mean, I'll do that to your face, yes. Sure, but this is for posterity. You know what I mean? It just seemed like, all right, come on now.
If having a James Malachewski become a patron did not say that I made it, then Brandon making an inside joke about me in X-Crawl Classic, that is said it. I've branded myself properly now. Now I'm really in the industry. All right, so I was going to ask you all these questions about beast mode. You said already that you do 17 cons a year. How many games do you think you run at each of those cons?
I actually know how many games I ran last year. Yeah. Okay. So it's not, but it's going to sound like I made it up is the thing. So, cause I do a report at the end of year for Goodman, okay. You know? Right. So last year I ran 88 convention games. That's convention and store appearances. Cause sometimes I'll go up a day early to stay a day late and do like a, you know, try to do a show at a local place. So I ran 88 games last year. Say 20% X-Crawl, 80% Dungeon Crawl Classics. For a total, my best estimate of, I think it's a fairly accurate number. I only have an estimate for players because you know how it is. People get up and leave, or they show up early or whatever. For about 501 players.
That's a cool number. 88 seems small, man. I almost feel like it would be more, but I guess when you divide that, that's four games. That's only four games a con, right?
Is that right? No, that doesn't seem right. I don't know.
I'm just guessing.
18? Yeah. I have to math that up. I mean, but I also don't count it if no one shows up. You know what I'm saying? Like, add about four or five no-show games to that over last year.
I can't imagine people don't show up because usually your games are so full.
You know, I go to a lot of these obscure places. They have no idea who I am. You know what I mean?
What do you think about that? Does it feel better, worse, or how do you feel about that?
I don't know. You know, I want to be an evangelist for Goodman Games and for running good games. So I try not to get my ego involved with if they know me or they don't know me or whatever. I just, you know, I want people to have a really good time, you know? And sometimes it's easier. Like if you picture it, you know, like if I show up at a place, they're like, oh, it's the great Brendan LaSalle. He better entertain us. Sometimes that can be bad and they'll dig their heels in.
I always mention that expectations are the killer of all entertainment or everything in life, really. Because if your expectations are high and it never gets there, then you're just going to say it's not good. Whereas if you went in with no expectations, you'd be fine, right? That's great, man.
Totally.
All right. So if you went to 17 cons, but now you're writing. So how much material you've been talking about Dungeon Crawl Classics but X-Crawl Classics for 2 years, mm-hmm. right? We've been talking about that coming out, haven't we?
Yeah.
So how much do you think, how many hours do you put into writing then a year or a month or whatever?
I don't know. You know, it fluctuates, you know, like I do the most at the end of the year. Like, so say my last show is usually say like mid-November, and then it's like cram, 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 and then Christmas, and then cram, cram, cram until my first things go. So it's uneven. During a lot of the year, I'm lucky if I can get, you know, 5,000, 6,000 words in a week at some points, you know, but like this last I've written, since January, since I got back from the holidays, went to Georgia and visited my folks for the holidays. Since we got back from the holidays, I probably like I'm on the big push for the X-Crawl Classics manuscript. So I probably, I don't even know. I mean, you know, certainly somewhere in the realm of 50 or 60 hours a week. And the manuscript went from being sort of a bare bones 80,000 words to 137 where I left it off yesterday. Wow.
Yeah, so we're getting somewhere then. What, I mean, do we have like a timetable on this thing or what?
I think I'll be done this week, frankly. The last, all I have left to do at this point are a couple of the patrons and the adventure. And the adventure, I actually wrote the adventure in a notebook in Houston. Like, there's going to be two adventures along with the that are going to come with the core book, you know, just like
DCC.
You know, the DCC book, yeah. So I'm writing one, and Valerie Emerson is writing the other one. She's writing the zero level funnel, and I'm writing the first level adventure. And I actually, negotiated the specifics of the adventure with Joseph, and he gave me the specs on it. So I actually wrote it, I wrote it like this past Saturday night at the hotel room.
Awesome, man.
I think I will have a draft done this week. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it'll be, to a point where I can send it to an editor for,
Awesome. I know. Here's a shout out to one of my listeners, Robert Nolan. I met him at GameholeCon this year, and he told me that his favorite person or his favorite writer or person in the industry was Brendan LaSalle, and he could not wait for X-Crawl to come out. So there you go, Robert. Be excited.
So cool.
I really thought you would say it was me, but no, Brendan got the nod. So, so I got a question for you. You run a lot of games. 80% of them are DCC. How close to the rules do you think you hew when you're running a DCC con game? Like the rules as written, the raw, you know?
Well, that's a good question. I would say fairly close. Like there's a few specific things that I do differently or in some cases that I was doing incorrectly and then was corrected, you know? I feel like there's only a few, the things that I intentionally change. If I run a funnel, I give all zero level characters 4 hit points and I don't let them spend luck until they reach first level. Yeah. So unless I do a thing called the DCC experiment and then a lot of things are out the window. But if I'm just running a straight game, I actually keep it pretty close. I don't really, I'm trying to show people how the game goes, you know what I mean? So I try to keep it pretty close to how it goes. I mean, there are some, obviously one of the beautiful things about DCC is that
it doesn't matter what you use in DCC, right? Like Doug Kovac's game doesn't even feel like DCC to me anymore, right? Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Make it your own, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, everyone is supposed to make it their own. I'm trying to show them a baseline to it, but then situations come up all the time where it's like, oh, well, how do I handle this? How do you handle drowning or, you know, this kind of thing? Or like it's X-Crawl, so it's like, how do you handle me picking a halfling up and trying to throw him across a finish line while he's firing a crossbow?
Yeah, that's cool thing. Where since DCC is more rules light, or some people would say OSR adjacent, like if you're playing hero system, there's almost rules for that, right? It's he's got a weight, you have a strength, there's a distance you can throw him, and how difficult it would be to fire. They don't have that in DCC, and frankly, I don't think we want it, right?
Exactly.
The whole concept has always been, you know, if someone wants to run up the dragon and chop it in the head with his axe, well, here's a roll. I mean, I think Job was the one that told me that back in the day.
And it's rulings and not rules. So I want to be able to, I want to be able to, in that moment, make a decision and a decision that I think is fair to the story, fair to the game, fair to the players. But I don't necessarily need to, I don't want to have to like look in and make sure, I don't want to feel confined. you know, I think there's a kind of an etiquette that goes with being a GM. And I think that you have to be like, okay, well, I'm going to keep an internal consistency as best I can, but I'm also not going to go nuts and stress it.
People are there to have fun, including you, and getting stressed is not the way to do it. Just do it. That's what I always say to people. Hey, how do you talk on a podcast and not be nervous or whatever? Just do it. Just have fun and run your game and don't worry about it. So I have a question about, I think it was a year or so ago, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago at GaryCon, I got to play in one of your games. I can't remember if it was Neon Knights or I think it must have been before it was published. And then you always talk about running the Init 5 points, but now they've actually published that. How? Because like Init 5 points was something you just kind of ran on Sundays or something, right? Can you tell me a story about that?
Sure. The Init 5 points was my hangover game. I ran it for the first time. Okay. The whole story goes back to, I was hanging out with some friends of mine and my one buddy was like, okay, B, I've got a game coming up. It's a bunch of my friends are going to be in town. We're going to get the gang back together for one night. What's a very cool, like jump in adventure point I could do for just one night. And I thought, oh, what if? And I basically, you know, kind of described to him how the opening, how I don't want to give it away, but how the adventure of Init 5 points actually starts. And he was like, oh, that's fun. I'll try that. So he tried it and it worked. And it, you know, it was fine. So years later, I went to MEPACON, and I went down on my Saturday night, like. MEPACON was so fun that year, and they had just they made that Jägermeister Spice. Oh, somebody brought the Jägermeister Spice, and we were up till all hours. And I mean, I wasn't sick, but the next morning my head was hurting a little bit. And I get there, and I got a table of all kids, and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm doing okay. I'm drinking my coffee, and I was like, let's play this game. And they're like, and I start describing to them, and they're like, you ran this last year. We already played this. And I'm thinking to myself, then why the hell did you sign up for it? But then I'm like, no. All right, let's be cool. I'm like, all right, well, then we'll do something different. And my mind raced, and my mind just landed on that story, that kernel of an idea that I gave my friend on the porch that night. And I was like, okay, how about this? And I ran a version of it improv there for the first time, in DCC rules. And, you know, I gave it kind of a longish intro so that I could get some coffee in me while I and let the kids sort of talk amongst themselves. So to me, Init 5 points kind of has a slow burn first hour before it really starts to get crazy. That was, you know, a lot of it came from that, you know what I mean? So that was where it, the whole thing came from. And it's become one of my very, it's gone from being like my Sunday morning, you know, just sort of like usual to be, you know, my most fun, my favorite game to run at a convention. Cause I just enjoyed it so much.
Man, it seems like it would be hard to get that written down and published, because it feels like I kind of got the impression you just kind of wanged it most of the time, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know, No, you're right. Exactly. But you know what? I winged it so many times. This is the thing. This is the thing about running, like, you know, I mean, I don't run, when I say I run 88 games, that's not 88 different events. That's, you know, I ran it at 5 points 25 times last year or something. I don't know specifically, but, you know, a lot of, say 17 times, maybe that's accurate, you know? Eventually, like within it 5 points, first, you know, I get to where I really know the landscape of that adventure. So wherever my players go, whatever they want to do, I can follow them around. And the couple of times it's gone completely off book, I was completely prepared because I knew the landscape that well. I just roll with it. You know what I'm saying?
Like we do. That's what GMs do, right?
So. But like we do. But then eventually, if you do it enough times, like I'm off book with that adventure. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Like I can run that. I can run that without notes, you know, no problem. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like it kind of hammered into something solid, right? It's kind of what you can do the same thing all the time now. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And even if the, Yeah. So in the earliest times of it, it really was, it was just something like, yeah, it was kind of all over the place and it went wherever it went and such. And it still can. I ran it last year for a bunch of guys who ignored the A story and decided to go do, the B story. And I was ready for that. And we had a good adventure. It still had a beginning, middle, and end, but it was still part of that same landscape, and even in my mind, while they were off doing the B story, the A story was still happening. You know what I mean? Like I was able to keep pace and say, okay, this is happening here, but back at the inn,
That's nice. And then you can all bring it back together and finish it off. Yeah. That's awesome, man. I've really enjoyed it, but it looks like our time is running out, sir. So now it's time to, it is
so brief.
Now it's time to give the appreciation to my listeners and those people that want to support the show. It's awesome to me. So I'm going to call out three people. You may know one of them, Todd McGowan, great artist, Canadian, super cool guy. I actually have two Canadians on this list. So Todd, thank you very much. He was supporting Random Screed, but apparently Anchor doesn't know how to take PayPal. So screw Anchor. Thanks for deciding to give me your money a different way, Todd. Love the support.
Good man,
another
Todd.
Canadian, Kevin Madison, Dungeon Musings. He does a lot of online gaming and he records it all for charity, actually. Super cool guy. And he's talking about coming to Game Hole, and that would be awesome. So the same year you get to Game Hole, I think we'll just have it all happen there, Brendan.
If you make it to Game Hole, sir, come over and introduce yourself. Yeah, I want to shake your
hand.
And
Stu Clark, he just recently joined, and he said he watched my Kalmata live streams and explained to me a good reason for watching it, because I didn't know there was one, but I did them anyway. So thanks, guys. If anyone else wants to be a supporter of the show, simply go to www.patreon.com/OSRNHobbs. Brendan, if anyone wanted to ask you about your awesome judo from 2017, where could they reach you?
You can find me on Twitter. I believe I'm just Brendan LaSalle on there. I'm also Maximum X Crawl on Twitter. You can catch up to me on Facebook. And that's pretty much these days the extent of my public mass media. So,
the last part of social media. We knew you well.
Social
media. It happens.
It was what it was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, can I give a shout out? I want to give a shout out to my old gaming buddy, huge influence, one of the few true geniuses I know, David Huey, who just texted me while we've been on this while I've been doing this interview. Texted me for the first time in more than a year, and
tell him he's got to listen to the show to get the shout out,
Dave. You got to listen to the show to get the shout out. And I miss you, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to see
you. If you want to reach me, I got to get my Twitter digits at Hobbs Indeed. The show has one at OSR and Hobbs. We've got a G+ community, a Facebook community, and a MeWe community. And nowadays, the best place to talk to all things Hobbs is at the Audio Dungeon Discord. All right, Brendan, I think you got something else to say. What's up, man? Yeah, last words.
Me? Last words. Hey, for all y'all out there, keep rolling the dice. If I could share my one piece of advice to everybody, the only law is fun at the table. Do what is fun, eliminate what is not fun, and you're rolling a good game there. Go out there and do it, guys.
Fantastic. I agree. As always, it's better to burn out than to fade away.